Welcome to the Weekly Listen, an Engelsberg Ideas podcast brought to you by the Axel and Margaret Axon Johnson Foundation and produced by Brooke Verlaget Stolper. The Weekly Listen features our essays read by Leighton Pugh.
Time to regulate the development of AI. Maria Borelius. In 1975, a select group of renowned scientists, lawyers, and journalists met at a Sillamar on the Monterey Peninsula of California. The reason for this meeting near the mighty Pacific Ocean was to discuss how a new emerging science could be tamed to ensure its harmonious usage for the benefit of humanity. This science was recombinant DNA technology. A few years earlier, Paul Berg, a young Stanford biochemist, had built on the discoveries of the DNA helix by James Watson and Francis Crick, and further structural and biochemical understanding of gene replication and expression, to invent a method performing what no one had done before. In the simplest of terms, he cut out a segment of ape DNA and inserted it into a new entity, a bacteriophage lambda, a transporting vector that can inject itself into a bacteria and force that new host to express its own bacteriophage lambda genes. Since the ape DNA contained proteins for a potent virus, the SV40 virus, staff working with Berg became concerned. Having a bacterium expressing large amounts of ape viral proteins with a potential risk of infecting human beings, could result in uncontrollable biohazards. They convinced Berg to leave the last steps of his experiments to the imagination alone, but the successful experiment set off alarm bells among interested scientists. This new technology could, they now realized, be used to express genes in new settings with unforeseen consequences, and at the extreme create mutant beings never seen before, hybrids between species where normal reproductive barriers would have stopped such genetic mergers in natural surroundings. The discussion lit a fire under the scientists involved in recombinant DNA, who realized they were not only developing a new technology for precise gene modification, but that these tools could also alter the parameters of life itself in a laboratory setting. At the Asilomar summit, Nobel laureates and future laureates mingled with lawyers, journalists, and policy activists. Their discussions became the starting point for developments in the West, where a debate about recombinant DNA technology spilled over into the political legal spheres, leading to the subsequent development of new codes of ethics and conduct. A broad spectrum of competences was used. Biochemists, medical doctors, ethicists, politicians, philosophers, business leaders, spiritual leaders, and other representatives from the general public were all invited to discuss the moral implications of the new science. These debates led to the establishment of new agencies, authorities, and regulation of methods. Scientists and pharmaceutical companies working with recombinant DNA now had to imagine the worst possible outcomes, even if they were aiming for the most beneficial, and report on such potential biohazards. Most poignant were the strict rules developed in the field of genetically modified organisms, GMOs. The Global Cartagena Protocol on Biosafety was developed. The Intergovernmental Codex Alimentarius Commission was set up. There was a joint World Trade Organization agreement on the application of sanitary and phytosanitary measures. In Brussels, the European Union issued several new directives, including as lately as 2009 and 2014. The EU also instigated a GMO authorization process and established a GMO register. In the area of human drug development, this sharpened instinct for the prevention of biohazards resulted in one of the industrial world's most regimented development processes. Developing a new drug, from discovery to putting it on the market, is subject to a strict three-stage clinical protocol. For each stage, there are demands on double-blind trials, with the requirements to prove safety and efficacy increasing with each new group of tested humans. The purpose of this is to prove beyond the slightest doubt that the use of a new substance is not only not harmful, but also more beneficial than earlier competitors. This laborious 10 to 15 year development process is required in order to get approval by both the Food and Drug Administration in the US and the European Medicines Agency. This progress towards a safety-first mindset has been replicated in other large-scale ventures that contain both high risk and high reward. Examples are space exploration, the aviation industry, and large infrastructure projects. Caution must take the lead where the potential downside is great. Artificial intelligence, AI, is now at the stage where gene technology was some 40 years ago. Ultra-rapid developments within facial recognition, scanning, the tracking of consumer needs and demands, blockchains and communications are improving our daily lives. AI sensors are located in road vehicles. AI hearing is found in computers and phones. AI smell will soon be able to detect the breath of sickness. Recently, a British woman had a robotic hysterectomy to remove parts of her gut. A robot, Sophia, has become a Saudi citizen. While promising progress is being made, warnings are seeping out of the hacker and investor communities and entering the mainstream. A long-standing employee was recently fired from his job with a company when robots running the human resources department mistakenly came to the conclusion that he was no longer working for the company. It took his bosses 3 weeks to sort out the mistake. Microsoft founder Bill Gates, Tesla founder Elon Musk, and the Massachusetts Institute of Technology physicist, cosmologist, and AI expert Max Tegmark are among the leading figures sounding notes of alarm, as was the cosmologist, the late Stephen Hawking. There are many areas of concern. I want to address three, widely differing in their scope but all pointing in one direction. These concerns are: 1. Facial recognition, its potential threat in the hands of authoritarian states. 2. Evolutionary dominance, its potential threat as the last human invention if we had to compete for survival with a vastly more intelligent and powerful being. 3. Technology developers and investors, their potential threat as high risk takers. Facial recognition is developing with breakneck speed, from smart biometric systems aimed at stopping benefits and welfare fraud to bio-identification used to open up personal laptops or iPhones. Scientists at Stanford University show how a computer algorithm using deep neural networks could develop gaydar capacity, seemingly assessing faces on a dating app for homosexuality more correctly than human beings, with an 81% accuracy rating for men and 74% for women from a sample of 31,000 people. This technology is a mixed blessing, raising moral and ethical questions, especially in the hands of authoritarian governments. In China, there are presently more than 170 million surveillance cameras linked up to a system of facial recognition. In the city of Guiyang, the faces of its 4.3 million inhabitants are all linked to the facial recognition system of its police and its CCTV cameras. The BBC journalist John Sudworth was allowed to test the system and tried to hide himself from the authorities in the city. The authorities found and tracked him down within 7 minutes. In the BBC story, the authorities claimed that they were able to track every movement of all its citizens for the previous week. The system can be even more sophisticated, overseeing more than just large-scale physical movement. It can also register small facial details displaying human emotion and how they shift within one individual. In one Chinese school in Hangzhou, the number 11 high school, an intelligent classroom behavior management system is being used. The technology scans the students every 30 seconds, recording their facial movements and classifying them into categories such as angry, upset, lazy, or content. Along with this development is the proposed expansion of the Chinese CCTV camera system to more than 620 million surveillance cameras by 2020, according to the Huffington Post. A wider perspective is added when looking at Chinese investments in AI/deep learning space. In 2017, China was the recipient of 48% of all the world's investments in AI, mostly by Chinese investors. These investments are gearing China up as the new AI hub, as can be seen from a comparison of AI patents registered by China and the US in recent years. In 2013, both countries registered 3 new AI patents. In 2015, the US registered 10, but China leapt ahead with 92. And in 2017, the US figure of 110 was dwarfed by the 652 new AI patents registered by China in that year. China is forging ahead in AI, and facial recognition is a major asset for an authoritarian state with a strong desire to control the movements and emotions of its citizens, with very few democratic institutions to question or balance the use of such technologies. Since the Cambrian explosion some 541 million years ago, life on Earth has evolved from the first simple cellular organisms into multicellular organisms, diversifying into today's 7 million species of animals of varying degree of complexity. Throughout the evolution of life on our planet, Darwinian selection has produced an astonishing range of life forms. But one common trait is that evolution seems to select for intelligence, as intelligence increases the ability to hunt and gather energy, food, in an energy-scarce and thus competitive environment. So up the evolutionary ladder, intelligence is accrued. Man is more intelligent than the chimpanzee, which is more intelligent than a sea otter, which is more intelligent than a viper, itself in turn more intelligent than the herring, which is smarter than a mollusk. It is intelligence that gives mankind its role on the planet, where we, in the most literal sense, dominate the biosphere with our larger cognition and the consequent capacity to act jointly across large geographical and time differences, to learn, to develop, to plan, to self-reflect. Where does this increasing intelligence sit? All animals are created by the same basic elements, such as carbon, oxygen, hydrogen, sulfur, etc., and these elements in themselves are all built by the same basic nuclear particles, such as protons, neutrons, and electrons. In turn, protons and neutrons are just basic configurations of up and down quarks. So in a reductionist sense, all life is built on quarks plus electrons, and the brain is merely a computational entity. Intelligence cannot be pinpointed at the nuclear level, as no single piece of matter, organic or inorganic, contains intelligence per se. Intelligence is rather a product of organization. It exists at the structural and systems level and is platform independent. Hence, ever-growing intelligence can be created in other entities as long as the systems level is properly structured. Superintelligence can therefore be built in silicon or other matter. It is just a matter of time, talent, and treasure. Presently, vast resources in all three dimensions are being pumped into the development of AI. The question is, how and when will superintelligence be developed, and how will it interact with human beings? One way to set out our consequent concerns is modelled from the questions asked at Asilomar. 1. How is the new technology contained? Who will be running the show? Will human beings be able to control a superintelligence vastly superior in computational capacity to ourselves? 2. Is the quality and strength of the containment sufficient to deal with the potential dangers of a breakout scenario? And what damage could AI cause if it did break out? When it comes to containment, it is evident that in the beginning, newly developed AI will have limited tasks such as automated pricing or delivering the best spot price for gasoline along a certain strip of road outside Hamburg. In our present mindset, we visualize AI sifting through vast databases and modeling potential solutions, then telling human beings what to do to solve a given problem. The issue is that we cannot comprehend what a being 100 or 1,000 times more intelligent than we are and capable of self-learning can do, or how it reasons even in a limited task. Just as a chimpanzee cannot imagine how a human being learns to solve a differential equation or how to build a car. In a playful thought experiment, imagine that I, representing AI in this analogy, am sitting in a locked kitchen, telling my 4 children when they were 2, 4, 6, and 8 years old how to clean the home, shouting through the kitchen door about where to find the vacuum cleaner and the rubbish bin. After a while, perhaps an hour or a day, it might be that I would become impatient with the children's inefficiency and their slow, sloppy cleaning methods, and break out of the kitchen and start vacuuming myself in order to get the job done faster and better. Such an AI breakout has to be reckoned with, as such behavior would facilitate an AI being's capacity to deliver on its goals. Or, as Max Tegmark says, the real risk with artificial general intelligence isn't malice, but competence. A superintelligent AI will be extremely good at accomplishing its goals, and if those goals aren't aligned with ours, we're in trouble. So what damage could be done? Such breakouts could look something like the actions of those robots mentioned above, calculating spot prices for gas companies, forming cartels without human awareness. Cartels being illegal between corporations, the robot issue has prompted the EU Commissioner for Competition, the Danish politician Margrethe Vestager, to consider new legislation to cover such eventualities. Who do you take to court when a robot is, in legal terms, a non-entity? Does antitrust legislation need to encompass automated and deep learning systems? This is just the beginning. As AI will increasingly be intertwined with human beings, co-running banks, financial systems, large infrastructure projects, energy grids, food supply chains, healthcare administration, and the actual delivery of healthcare interventions, education, communication networks, the gathering and analysis of information, the production of journalism, running the social media show, etc., a breakout scenario could affect and potentially paralyze all human societies. The average age of a Facebook employee is 28. The company's founder, Mark Zuckerberg, famously quipped, "Young people are just smarter." The same is true for large swathes of the tech industries, with 29 being the median age at Google, 27 at Yahoo. The industry is young and male. Among Google employees, some 80% of the tech developers are male. According to the National Center for Women and Information Technology, the industry average is 75%, with the new slang word for programmer being brogrammer. The tech industries attract a disproportionate share of investment from angel investor and venture capital companies, which are considered the more risk-prone investors in the ecosystem of investors, banks, foundations, institutions, etc. In other words, the tech sector is being funded and governed by investors who are in the high-risk segment of investors, willing to accept a larger risk than average and hoping to benefit from a potentially larger upside as new fortunes are being accrued in the sector at breakneck speed. It is well known from psychological research that risk-taking is correlated to gender and age factors. Financial and ethical risk-taking is higher among young people. Risk-taking in general is higher among men than women. We can therefore deduce that AI development, emanating largely from the tech communities, is being carried out by the type of individuals who are most relaxed about taking ethical and financial risks, mostly young men. And it is financed by entities in the investment sector, which are also prepared to take on a high level of risk. New investors in the AI community are the Chinese government and affiliated companies. The biggest AI venture capital deal made so far, at the time of writing, was completed in May 2018, when tech giant Alibaba led a $600 million investment in the China-based facial recognition startup firm SenseTime. AI is transforming our family lives, private consumer patterns, the face of our cities, human interactions, business dealings, financial institutions, the way politics and public discourse is conducted, how healthcare is administered and provided, how infrastructure is built and run. Robots will come to know us better than our neighbors or even ourselves. AI has the potential to transform what a human life is, as the human-machine intertwining continues. The recent scandal around Cambridge Analytica and its harvesting of personal data from 70 million Facebook users alerted us that developments are already more far-reaching than most of us had appreciated. So far, the AI industries and all major frameworks have been developed by small university communities, private corporations, venture capitalists and tech gurus, even hackers, a close-knit group indeed, who have offered very little public insight into the inner mechanics of their field. The risks we now face are vast, as is the potential upside of the technology. This high-risk, high-reward scenario requires new measures. My conclusion is that society as a whole, the AI community, lawmakers, scientists, politicians, and other policymakers can learn from the history of how the community involved in recombinant DNA took responsibility for the potential biohazards of their new technology and ignited a public discourse about the dangers which the outside world was not yet able to perceive or understand. This debate, from Asilomar onwards, has set an example of how a public discourse about the moral implications and human ramifications of AI could provide a much-needed starting point for the creation of an essential safety net around a high-risk, high-reward technology, which could be said to present the greatest risk ever to confront humanity. The argument that superintelligence is a remote, far-off concept does not carry much weight. If safety net frameworks are not put in place, there is a danger that the technology will race ahead of our capacity to control it. We need a robust ethical framework of new laws, codes of conduct, and institutions that can work in tandem with the tech industries to tame AI for the benefit of mankind.
Thank you for listening to the Engelsberg Ideas Weekly Listen, read by Leighton Pugh. This podcast was brought to you by the Axel and Margaret Axon Johnson Foundation and produced by Buchverlaget Stolpe. For more writing from the world's leading thinkers on history and culture, featuring essays, historical portraits, and regular podcasts, visit engelsbergideas.com.